Welcome, everybody, to the first Relive the Magic podcast of the new year. I am your host, Dallas Thompson, and today I'm coming to you just for a brief discussion on what has been going on lately in the world of movies, theme parks, TV, just whatever I've been looking into lately. And before we get to that, I wanted to invite you to check out our YouTube channel, Relive the Magic, simply on YouTube. And we had a website, relivethemagic.net. But for now, I'm just going to have that redirect over to our YouTube channel, because that is really where I plan to focus most of my efforts this year, along with the podcast on Spotify. The podcast will be coming back to YouTube here in the next few weeks in a video format, because I find that that is better viewed, better received, et cetera, et cetera. And it's been a little bit, and there's been a lot that's happened in about the last month or so. So let's jump right into it. Number one, the biggest thing of discussion over the last month in the world of entertainment has been Spider-Man No Way Home, which last time I released a podcast, I was just about to go see. I was actually like 30 minutes away from leaving to go watch the movie. I've watched it 5 or 6 times now, and it is honestly a masterpiece of the superhero genre. It's fantastic. And if you haven't seen it yet somehow, I definitely think you need to make sure to see it before it leaves theaters. I don't know when that'll be. I don't think it'll be anytime soon, because it is making a lot of money for Sony and for Marvel and just for the theaters in general. It is all around a huge win, and I am super excited that we are back to having big blockbuster movies like that. Spoiler warning, I was very glad to see that all of our speculation was true, and then there were some surprises in the movie as well. I really enjoyed seeing the dynamic between Toby, Andrew, and Tom Holland, Peter Parker's. That was what I was most excited for in the movie, assuming that those rumors were true, and that was just fantastic. I wish there was more of it, but I thought that the way they handled it was actually really great. And it could have easily been done poorly, because it could have just been all fan service, but the way they integrated it into the story and into the, just in the film in general, was really good and really impressive. And I look forward to watching it at least 1 or 2 more times before it leaves theaters. I've already got it pre-ordered on, the collectible steelbook editions and digital and all that stuff. So I'm going to watch it many more times. But as a huge fan of Marvel and Spider-Man, it was a complete home run. And also, it's been a little bit controversial what they did for the post-credit scene, both of them actually, Venom. And I thought that it was fine. I'd rather Venom stay in his own little universe, and, you know, maybe the rumors of Andrew Garfield being in Venom 3 now, maybe that would be great. I mean, I think that'd be great, but maybe that is now a credible thing. And I think that it's good that Venom is staying separate. And I thought it was a nice little thing to throw in there at the end. And, of course, now there's the Venom symbiote in the MCU as well, so now we can have, maybe we'll have something to do with Venom in the MCU going forward, but it'll not be the same Venom as in the Sony universe. At least that's what I think, but they really left it open to whatever they want to do post No Way Home, which was a great decision, I think, on their part. And then the second post-credit scene was the trailer for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is now on YouTube. You can watch it now there, and I thought it was actually really cool to see the debut of a Marvel trailer in the theater for the first time on opening night with the crowd. And yeah, I think I was fine with that. I actually prefer that to just a random post-credit stinger. And I hope that that becomes a more normal thing. I don't know if that will, but I think it was just because that film really picks up where this one left off, at least with Doctor Strange. I thought it was a good decision. And yeah, so that's what I thought of Spider-Man No Way Home. And as far as entertainment goes, we've also had Book of Boba Fett come out in the last few weeks. I believe tonight is January 18th, tonight at 3 a.m. for me. So I guess it's technically tomorrow will be episode 4. I'll be honest, I have not watched an episode since episode 1, because I was so underwhelmed with episode 1 that I have not found a time where I've been like, I want to spend my time watching this show. And I think I'll take some time later to catch up and see if it's any better. But yeah, I have not been interested one bit in the show. I wasn't interested before it started. And then it really did not hook me in the first episode. It actually made it worse. And yeah, so I'm glad that some people are enjoying it, but it's really rare for me not to at least like something when it comes to the Disney Plus series, at least the major ones. And this is the first one I can say I really did not like so far. I mean, I've only seen one episode, but from what I hear, the things I didn't like about the first episode are still there in the previous two episodes, episodes 2 and 3. But I'll keep you guys updated on my thoughts on that. And I'll probably do something at the end of the series more in depth on my thoughts and whether or not it worked for me overall. But speaking of series that are working for me, I watched Peacemaker last night, episodes 1 through 3 on HBO Max for the first time. And I really was not anticipating this show very much, which is strange because Suicide Squad was a really great film last year, and it's on my top 10 list. I don't remember where I ranked it. I can take a look at that. But just in general, Suicide Squad was a home run, in my opinion, last year. I mean, it didn't do great at the box office, but it was content-wise, it was fantastic. And Peacemaker picks up where it left off with John Cena, directed by James Gunn. I believe most of the episodes are directed by James Gunn. I think there might be a couple that he's not directing. But either way, I was not too anticipating this show too much. But last night I watched episode 1, intending just to watch the first one last night, and I'll watch the rest like today or something. I stayed up till 3 a.m. watching episodes 1, 2, and 3 because this show is just all around amazing. Like, it's hilarious. The characters are interesting, compelling, and their relationships with one another are interesting to watch on screen. And I think it's the best role I've ever seen John Cena in, to be honest, even better than in The Suicide Squad, when his character, I wouldn't have understood how they'd make his character really a protagonist going forward. But yeah, overall so far, episodes 1 through 3 of that have been mind-blowing and great. I will say it is not for families or children, which shouldn't have to be said if you know anything about the show or the Suicide Squad movie, but just want to throw that out there. It's very much not for children. It's very much not for family audiences. Just keep that in mind. And I think it's only going to get worse as the show goes on. It's very much like The Boys on Amazon Prime or Deadpool, but probably at a little bit of a higher level than Deadpool, I would say. But yeah, it's an HBO show, so that's not really that surprising. And I looked at my top 10 of 2021 list. That's number 9, along with... I'll share my top 10 real quick of 2021, in case anyone wants to know. Starting at 10, Ghostbusters Afterlife. 9, The Suicide Squad. 8, Cruella. 7, Venom Let There Be Carnage. 6, West Side Story. 5, Shang-Chi. 4, Eternals. 3, Tick, Tick, Boom. 2, Free Guy. And number 1, No Way Home. And Tick, Tick, Boom was a nice surprise as well. If you haven't watched that on Netflix yet, definitely go check that out. Let's see. I think that's it as far as like entertainment, TV, movies at the moment. There's a lot coming out here soon. There was a Moon Knight trailer that launched last night and looks like a very different Marvel project, which I've really liked lately, that we've been getting different types of tones and shows and just everything in general from Marvel. It's been nice and refreshing lately. And then I think it makes the movies like Spider-Man No Way Home all the better when we go back to a traditional superhero type film. And so I'm excited to see where they go with Moon Knight. That releases in March, and I'm very much looking forward to that. Recently, I was in Orlando for about 3 days, 3 or 4 days, for the Run Disney Walt Disney World Marathon weekend 2022. I did not run the marathon. I did not run the Dopey Challenge. I did run the 5K. I actually ran during the 5K, not walked the whole time. But and that was a very interesting experience all around. I really enjoyed it, and I now am going to be doing these events all the time. And that's apparently a very common thing to catch the Run Disney fever from going to these events. In fact, I've already signed up for the Springtime Surprise Weekend. I had already signed up for that a while ago, the 5K. But after the 5K I did this time, I was like, I'm going to make a challenge for myself. I'm going to do the 10-miler Tower of Terror. Well, actually, I was going to do the 10K, but... 10K sold out right before I went to register. So I was like, I'll just do the 10-miler and I'll train for it until the race. And so I'll be going back March 31st for the Expedition Everest Challenge 5K. And then I'll be doing the Tower of Terror 10-miler, both at the inaugural Springtime Surprise Run Disney Weekend. And I'm really looking forward to that. I just wanted to share for a minute my thoughts on the whole process from a first timer doing a Run Disney race. First of all, I knew in advance going to the expo on opening day, the Runners Expo. I'd researched a lot, which a lot of people don't do, to know that there is a spot where you need to pick up your bib, a spot where you need to pick up your shirt, and then the merchandise for the Disney merchandise was also a thing. And I was staying on site for the sole reason of the buses, but I only used them for race day. I didn't use them to go to the expo. I don't know how convenient that turned out being or not, so I can't really speak on that. But I will say that I got there 30 minutes before the expo opened. I knew I should have gotten there earlier. But wow, the line, I was in line for 2 hours for merchandise, which is just crazy. And it just shows the growing, I don't even know how to say it. Like, it's just what's going on in Disney these days with eBay resellers and just needing to have everything is becoming very evident, especially this last weekend with the Figment popcorn buckets at Epcot, but that's a whole different discussion for a different time. But anyway, I should have gotten there probably 8 o'clock, to be honest. I still would have waited 2 hours, but it wouldn't have been the same way. I wouldn't have been all the way around the building because once you got inside the building, you kind of thought you were almost done probably, but no, you're still only about halfway there. And so I'm not complaining. I don't mind waiting in lines like that, but I heard a lot of people complaining, and just know that if you're looking for specifically the challenge merchandise, like the Dopey challenge or the 5K merchandise, it will be gone by the afternoon of the first day. That's what happened this time. And I know that there's some supply and chain issues lately. And so that probably plays a big part in that. But if you wanted the 5K stuff, you had to be there that morning. And that's what I wanted, because that's what I was doing. That and the pass holder merchandise. And I'm not sure, like the next day, I'm not sure if what was left, because I only went that morning. And then I came back in the afternoon to check out what was left. The mobile checkout was very convenient. I'm glad they had that. I did not want to wait to check out with someone. I will say one thing is that I bought a ton of items. I'm not reselling them. Don't worry. I just bought them for myself. And I bought some pins, and this is my mistake, but when I'm scanning the mobile checkout, you know, I realized after I left that I don't think I scanned one of the pins that I was taking. And, you know, they check the risk. I don't know what they check. They scan the code. They look in your bag a little bit. But I realized there's probably, like, people can steal things pretty easily using that system. So that's probably why it's not rolled out everywhere. I'm not here encouraging you to do that. And I went back to pay it and make it right. But I just wanted to let you know, double check that you scanned everything. Double check that everything you scanned is actually what you're getting, first of all. I mean, that's a good thing. And also, check that you're buying, if you're a male or you just don't want the women's cut, you might want to check that you're not buying the women's jacket. I'll just say that, because I realized I did that the other day. And that's partially my fault, but also it's like really not obvious or labeled on a lot of the merchandise there. So yeah, I mean, that's just something to keep in mind and know for when you go to Run Disney, because they specifically, compared to like the parks, have a lot of women's cut items and such. But yeah, the merchandise is really nice for Run Disney. I really think a lot of their stuff looks really nice. I hear that it doesn't wash very well, so that's something to keep in mind. I will say the very easy part of this was to go get the bib and the shirt. They're in different locations. The shirts are where all the vendors are in the expo, which I think is on purpose to get you to go look at it, because otherwise a lot of people wouldn't go to the actual expo part of it, which makes sense to me. But those parts were so painless and easy, and it's very easy, by the way. If you pick a shirt size, try it on, because it'll probably be small on you. So go and trade it out. They have a trading center to trade out your shirt for the free shirt that they give you for the race. And I saw a lot of people doing it, so don't be embarrassed to do it. A lot of people do it to either get a smaller size or a larger size. And a lot of people I saw get larger sizes, or you can change your shirt style, because there's the women's cut for that as well, and just the regular cut. And so that's really the expo experience. And then the next morning, buses started, I believe, at 3 a.m. I was going to get on the bus at 3 a.m., but I was like, I don't think I need to. So I got on around 3:20, 3:30-ish. No, that's not true. It was probably 3:10, 3:15, because I was at Epcot by 3:30. And I got there. It was just beautiful to see the lights on Spaceship Earth at 3-something in the morning. And it was really unique. We walked, though, from the bus to the area, like with all the photo ops, and then right there for the 5K is where you would start, right there. But for the marathon and half, I know you have to walk like another mile, I think, to get to the start. So just keep that in mind. That's kind of, when you're doing a distance like 26 miles, that can be a big deal. But with the 5K, I didn't mind, because we also were spreading it out. We're stopping for security, stopping for pictures, and all that. I got there early, stood in the corral for a long, long time. I was in the back corral because I didn't really submit any times, because I didn't know what my times would be. But I don't know if I would recommend, if you have a time that you think you can maintain for a Disney race, I would definitely put it in. For the 5K, you don't have to prove it. I'd put in what you think you can do, what you think your best would be. Because if you're in that back group, you're waiting till 6 a.m. to start almost. And some people did wait till 6 a.m. to start. I started probably 5:50 a.m. when the race started at 5. And so my feet were very tired before we even started going, which, you know, can make a big difference in how you run the race. So that's important to know. And there's a lot of walkers in the back. And there's a lot of people that have never done races before in the back, so they don't know the etiquette, like, don't block the entire road as you're walking. And it's very difficult to get around people. So just keep that in mind if you're trying to run the race and trying to get a good time. Just, if you can, submit a time and they'll put you in a better group, hopefully. And that's what I'll be doing for the future. But the entire race experience as a whole was really, really cool. Once you got past the first mile, we were in Epcot. And that part was just fantastic. Seeing all the characters, seeing all the harmonious barges on with the 5K logo and the Run Disney logo was really cool. It was just really cool to be running inside of Disney. It was really magical. And it's something that I look forward to doing more and more. And I was out of there before the sun was coming up. Because I didn't stop for the character pictures. Those lines are very long, so you're going to have to choose, really, between getting a good time and doing characters, unless you're in, like, the first corral, which, in that case, you can just go up to the characters, probably. Anyways, that is just my experience with Run Disney. I spent some time that weekend at Universal, and I spent some time at Disney. Normal stuff going on there, you know, just into the holiday season, before Mardi Gras starts over there, and just before festival season started at Epcot. It was a good time just to chill and hang out at the parks. But yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit of that experience, and just say that going forward, my goal is to do once a week or so, both YouTube and Spotify. Lately, there's been a lot going on, so I think after the race, I came down, I think maybe with COVID. I never actually got to get tested, but I did not feel very good, so I tried recording this about a week or week and a half ago, and that did not work out very well. I had to stop every 2 seconds to cough or get water, and so we're just now doing this, but going forward, that's the plan. So thank you all for tuning in today. We will be back, hopefully, next week with video. If not, it'll just be audio, talking about Peacemaker Episode 4 along with whatever else comes up in the next week. Probably some stuff about the D23 Expo, considering those tickets go on sale this Thursday. That's important to know. And you do have to be a D23 member, either the free category or the paid category. So make sure you take a look at that, D23Expo2022.com, I believe, is the correct website for that. Anyways, thank you all for listening, and I will see you guys next time.